so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five different locations, and our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
I love the new year, kind of the turn of the new year. How many of you are New Year's resolution people? You kind of make some New Year's. Do you know what the number one New Year's resolution is? Anybody guess? Yeah, trying to lose weight. And they say the gymnasiums are filled up at the beginning of the year, but they're back down by February. How many of you ain't even made it that far yet? You ain't even got your membership yet. But it is a fresh start, kind of a fresh new beginning, and a redo, a mulligan, if you will. That's kind of a golf term, you know. It's when you hit one bad one, then you get the next one. And so we're kind of glad 2018's in the rearview mirror. And it's always kind of a fresh start, fresh beginning, a new year. But how many of you know a new year doesn't translate into a new you? And I want to talk to you today about a subject. I'm going to call it patterns. Everybody say patterns. Yeah, because I think there is a power in patterns. If you want to change you, you're going to have to change some things that you do. If you want to change you, you're going to have to change some things that you do. Because the power is in the pattern. Say that with me. The power. Now say it again. The power is in the pattern. One more time. The power is in the pattern. And I want us to look at the life of Moses real quick. And many of you might remember Moses. You probably saw the movie. Moses and the Ten Commandments. Moses is probably one of the greatest leaders in the Old Testament. He's going to lead 4 million slaves. He's going to lead them out of Egypt. The Israelites have been enslaved by Egypt for over 400 years. So I want you to think about that, 400 years. If that would mean your daddy was a slave, your daddy's daddy was a slave, your daddy was a slave, your daddy was a slave, and your daddy. I mean, you just keep going back generations to generations. And that's where Egypt provides things for you. They provide the food that you eat. They provide the housing quarters where you live. You just get up every day and do the work. You're enslaved. And God is going to use Moses. Moses is going to be the deliverer. You might remember he was raised in the house of Pharaoh. He was the prince of Egypt, even though he was a Hebrew, even though he was a Jew. He was raised in the house of Egypt, and at the age of 40, he made a decision that he chose to identify with the people of God, the Israelites, instead of the Egyptians. He had a choice. And he chose to identify with the slaves instead of being a prince of Egypt. And he came across an Egyptian taskmaster who was brutalizing an Israelite slave and was whipping him. And he comes across that scene and he becomes angry and takes matters into his own hands and he kills the Egyptian taskmaster. Now, some of us would say that was justice, but how many of you know God says, thou shalt not kill? And so he ends up running to the backside of the desert for 40 years, sees a burning bush, and God is going to send him back. And you remember, he's going to go talk to Pharaoh. Go talk to Pharaoh. God gave him a trick stick. Y'all remember that? He would drop it. It would turn to a snake. Pick it up. He goes and talks to Pharaoh. Pharaoh refuses to allow the Jews to leave. Remember, they've built the pyramids and all of Egypt, these Jews, on Jewish labor. And so he goes back and there's 10 plagues. You might remember some of the plagues. And he would say, hey, the Nile River is going to turn to blood unless you let us go. And sure enough, a miracle would take place. And he goes through 9 different plagues and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He would not let Israel go until the last plague. The last plague was the plague of the death angel, or the Passover. That's what they called it, the Passover. And here was the plague. Every household's firstborn is going to die. The death angel is going to come through Egypt, and every firstborn household, the firstborn, would die. I don't know how many firstborns are in here, but if you are firstborn, would you stand up? Just go ahead and just stand up. Firstborns. Yep, these are all the dead people right here, okay? Okay, all right, step back down. Okay, all right. You would die. The death angel. Well, there's got to be a but, right? Yeah, but exception, Moses told the Israelites, go and get a lamb out of your flocks. The perfect lamb, not one without a blemish. Go get it. Sacrifice it. Take its blood and put over the doorpost of your house. Because the death angel is going to come in at night and he's going to visit every home, excuse me, except the homes that have the blood over the doorpost. And that death angel, if it sees the blood on your house, on the doorpost, it will pass over your house and everyone will be saved inside of your household. Now, that's an Old Testament sample of what the New Testament talks about with salvation. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is going to die on a cross, shed his blood. When you get born again, when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, he takes the blood of the Lamb and puts it over the doorpost of your life. So when death angel comes, and he comes, he's coming. When the death angel comes for you, he will pass over. It doesn't mean I'm not going to have a funeral one day. I am. Pastor Eugene is going to pass away. There is going to be a coffin up at the front of the church. Not here, over at Harry Gilbo. In Jesus' name. God willing. Okay? Even if I die today, could y'all still have my services over there? Okay? They're going to open up the casket. They're going to put all kinds of makeup on me. You're going to walk past the casket, and you're going to say something like this. You're going to say, he sure looks peaceful. Right? You're going to say something like that. I want you to know, I'm not there. My last breath on earth was my first breath in heaven because the death angel has passed over me. I'm with Jesus. After my funeral service, when y'all say nice things about me, and y'all better say some nice stuff, then after that, I want Mama's Fried Chicken to provide wings for everybody and potato salad. And then I want y'all to throw a party. Okay, he's home. He's where he always wanted to be. All right, deal? Is that a deal? You don't have to cry. In fact, the scripture tells we don't mourn like other people mourn because we know where they go because the death angel passed over. Moses showed it to us. Jesus showed it to us. It passes over. We get a reunion one day. We'll be waiting. I'll be there waiting for you to come. And we're going, ha-ha! And it's going to be awesome. And so, and by the way, heaven is more real than what you and I feel, face right now today. You're going to be, it's more real than what we're having and seeing here. And so we can't wait to, so Passover, right? So that's what happens. That's where Pharaoh finally relents and says, let him go. Pharaoh's son dies. And man, he's broken. Let him go. Salvation took place, the blood over the doorpost. And so then they all exit, 4 million saved slaves. And then they're going to walk through. Remember the first place they come to? They come to the Red Sea. And then they go, what did Moses do? He brought us out here to kill us. And Egyptian armies are coming after them. And they're coming. And Moses takes the trick stick, remember? He puts it into the water. What happens to the water? It parts, and all of them pass through, and the Egyptian army comes in, and once they all get through, then the waters come and fall, and we can drown all the Egyptian soldiers, and God gives them a great victory. That's the water baptism. We get excited when we baptize folks here, because on any given Sunday, we could baptize 500 people in one Sunday at Our Savior's Church, and we rejoice. It's so awesome. It's very exciting. Man, Moses blew us away. He baptized 4 million in one service, one day. Baptized them. So I want you to see that though the slaves started as slaves, they received Christ, if you will, salvation by the blood of Lamb. and water baptized, and then they get out into the wilderness. And the problem with Moses was not getting those Jews out of Egypt, not getting the Jews saved, not getting them baptized. That was not his biggest problem. His biggest problem was still trying to get the Egypt out of them. Let me say that again. The big trick wasn't getting the Israelites out of Egypt. The biggest trick was trying to get the Egypt out of the Israelites. Do I need to say that again? Why? Because the same thing happens to us. You can get saved, go through baptism, but you still have to get the old slave out of you. And by the way, the scripture does let us know that all of us were slaves to sin. And so we walk out as slaves. We're all sitting in this room today as former slaves. If you're born again, you are a slave to sin. I'd love to bring you all up here and tell all of your sin that you were a part of growing up. Who's the first volunteer? I didn't think so. Okay, all right, we'll do that next week. Are you with me? Well, let me show you the first thing that happens when Moses gets them out into the wilderness, these slaves. Are they saved? Answer? Yes. Are they born again? Answer? Yes. Are they baptized? Answer? Yes. Yeah. He gets them out there. And one of the first things that God does is send Moses up to the mountain to go up and get what we would call, and you know what he got? He got two tablets. What was on those tablets? Anybody remember? The Ten Commandments. And I would say to you, those commandments were really just a brand new pattern for them to live by. Everybody say this. There is power in the pattern. There's power in the pattern. So God is going to give them a pattern called the Ten Commandments. And I'm pretending this is my tablet, right? He's going to come down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments. And he's going to give, and y'all remember the Ten Commandments. You remember some of them, right? Don't put anything before God. How about don't steal. Don't kill. Don't lie. Don't covet your neighbor's stuff. I mean, when you think of, we see a little bit of it in Haiti when we go to Haiti. Tommy Badon and Susan and Sam and Kim George, they're taking to Haiti, and it's based on Core Love, the group that's in Haiti, of saying what the need is for their nation. And here's what they've said. Because it's so depressed economically that the nation, that the kids that are there in the orphanage won't share. Because they've grown up just trying to survive. Now, when you've been living generations like that where you're trying to grab food just to eat so you can live, then so they're bringing in sports to try to teach a generation teamwork and how to share. Now, you've got 4 million Jews out who've been slaves trying to survive, probably stealing, lying, probably doing things they should not do, and God's saying, I'm going to give you a new pattern. Everybody say, there's power in the pattern. He's given them the Ten Commandments. It's not just a moral code, though it is. It's also a brand new pattern in which to live. When you and I got born again, when you and I got saved, when you and I walked through the waters, then God is laying that pattern on our heart, a new way to live, that we don't live the old way anymore. Are y'all tracking with me so far? Okay. Could you let your Facebook feed know that? Should I? Do you want me to go there? Should I go there? I don't know. I don't know if you can handle this. You can't handle the truth. No. It is amazing how on one Facebook feed you can be worshiping and praising God and rejoicing in Him, and the next day you're the same Facebook feed, you're cursing like a sailor. He done meddled now. No. What is that? It doesn't mean you're not saved. It doesn't mean you haven't gone through the blood over the doorpost. It doesn't mean you haven't walked through the waters of baptism. What it simply reveals is there's still some Egypt still in there that has to get out. That's all it reveals. I'm not condemning anyone in this room. Please don't walk out of here feel condemned. I'm just saying it shows that you still got to get some of that Egypt out by creating a brand new pattern in which you're going to live by, because the power is in the pattern. Ooh, it's good. You're tight, but it's right. Okay, are y'all with me? So I want you to see how this goes on. So he's going to bring the pattern down. He's going to, and by the way, he also gives Moses not just the pattern, but he gives him the promise with the pattern. And here's what he says. If you'll follow the pattern, there is a land I'm going to give you called the promised land. I'm going to give you a promise. Follow the pattern, you'll get the promise. Follow the pattern, you'll get the promise. Follow the pattern, you'll get the promise. By the way, that principle is true throughout all of Scripture. If you follow the pattern, you'll get the promise. If you seek me, pattern, you'll find me, promise. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, pattern, you will be filled, promise. If you bring your tithes into the storehouse, pattern, I'll open the windows of heaven up over your life. Promise. Throughout Scripture, pattern, promise. Say it with me. Pattern, promise. If you'll do it my way, you'll get the promises of God if you'll follow the pattern. Is everybody tracking with me so far? Balcony, you get it? Okay, all right. Watch this. By the way, every pattern is not a respecter of persons. If you follow God's pattern, it will lead to a promise. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you have Pastor Eugene in front of your name. It doesn't matter. It's not a respecter of persons. Doesn't matter if you're black, white, rich, or poor, Republican, Democrat, Independent. For some, I've even seen people that haven't got the blood over their doorposts follow the biblical patterns of God and still receive some of the promises. Have you ever seen somebody that wasn't a Christian still being blessed? Because they were following God's patterns. And when you follow the patterns, you get the promises. You ought to go, amen. Okay? It's not a respecter of promises. But here's the deal. The power's in the pattern. For the good and for the bad. For the good and for the bad. If you don't like what you keep getting, you might want to look at the pattern, not the result, and go, what could I change so I could get a different result? It's in the pattern. And so watch this. In Numbers chapter 20, he's going to take these slaves, who, by the way, they kept mumbling and complaining. All right. I don't like bread every day. God keeps giving us bread every morning. I'm sick of bread. Are you sick of bread? I'm sick of bread too. I don't know. Why are they doing that? I don't know. Simulcast. I don't want no simulcast. I want a live preaching over here. I don't know. None of y'all would ever complain about any of that, would you? Is it going to be live or is it going to be on the screen? Mumbling. I'm your pastor. I love you. So you they didn't mumble and complain. They just mumble and complain. So Moses is going to take them to a place called Kadesh because they were thirsty. They needed water. And Kadesh was famous for being a well-watered land. So Moses is like, come on. Yeah, I know. We're thirsty, Moses. Okay, come on. And he takes them to this place called Kadesh. And when they get there, Kadesh had been under a drought. And so where the water was, there's no longer water. Boy, you ought to hurt them then. We brought it down here. We water. Remember what all they've seen, right? They've watched the plagues happen while they were still in bondage. They've watched it. They watched the death angel visit the neighbor's house instead of theirs. They watched the Red Sea. They watched when they were hungry. There was manna out every morning. Then they complained and God relented and set quail. Quail. Do y'all like quail? Yeah, that's good eating. We eat that down here. And so they sent quail. They watched God answer every need along the way. And so, and now they're down going, we need water, we need water. And he gets them to Kadesh and there is no water. And then God whispers to Moses, Moses, by the way, there's always a test with every promise. You're going to walk through seasons of test. You build a pattern, there is a promise, and then God will take you to a test just before he gives it to you. He does it all the time. I would have graduated in the top 10% of my class if it wasn't for test. Anybody with me? The only problem I had was the test. With every test, there is an answer. Some of you are walking through that season right now. By the way, can I just say this to you? Look at me. We're building a brand new building. Can I just give you my experience for 30 years? Every time you're about to open something brand new for God's glory and his kingdom, all hell breaks loose. That's probably not even on my life. I'm saying that to you so you can be prepared and ready. So when you see the enemy, you recognize it for what it is. Not that you're blaming your husband, because it's probably the devil. All right? I just want you to know, all hell, there's always the test. Before the promise, there is a... And the test has an answer. So if you're walking through a season right now where you're going, I feel like I've just showed up to Kadesh and there ain't no water. If you're walking through that, don't pray, Lord, deliver me from this test. That's not how you get there. Every test has an answer. You ask God not to deliver you from the test, but to give you the answer so that you'll know, because with revelation from God comes change of season. If you want your season to change, ask God, what are you trying to teach me in this season? Because once you get it, then the season will change. Are you with me? So there they are. God speaks to Moses. Here's the answer, Moses. I want you to speak to that rock. Speak to it. Moses goes over to the rock, takes the trick stick, and instead of speaking to the rock, he strikes it twice in anger. I think I know who he was angry with. Do you know who he is angry with? Who was he angry with? The complainers, the mumblers. And he strikes that rock and the water comes flowing out and everybody begins to rejoice. He's not rejoicing because he's mad because God is relenting and giving them what they need because he's mumbling and complaining and God still answers their prayer and he's mad. And he strikes the rock. And here's what God says. In fact, I'll show it to you. Numbers chapter 20, verse 12. God said to Moses and Aaron, because you didn't trust me, I think it probably ought to say, because you didn't obey me. Because you didn't obey me, you didn't treat me with holy reverence in front of these people of Israel. You two, sounds like my mama, you young man, you two aren't going to lead this company into the land that I'm going to give them. And you go, dang, God ain't playing. I mean, all he did, he was angry with them and he just struck it and the water still flowed. I mean, this is a little bit harsh. Didn't it seem a little harsh? One time. He disobeys God just once. And God says, no promise for you. In fact, later he would actually take Moses up to the top of a mountain and let him look into the promised land, but wouldn't let him taste the promised land. Woo. Wouldn't that be cruel if God would take you and show you something that you can't have? Look what you could have had, but you didn't. Okay, look at me. there is power in the pattern. Let me just remind you of Moses a little bit. Moses had a pattern. He was 40 when he saw the taskmaster beating the Israelite slave, and he became angry and committed murder. It was later when God gave him the Ten Commandments the first time, and he saw Israel doing what they should not be doing, and he takes those tablets and he throws them down at their feet in anger. And now we read here, this pattern keeps showing up again over and over and over again, that he never dealt with the anger that's on the inside of him. There is power in the pattern. There's power in the pattern. I got good news for you. You can break the power of the pattern. You can break it. In fact, let me show you. Let me help you today, because I want you to break this pattern. If you got this pattern, you go, Pastor, you, how did you know that was my Facebook feed? I don't know that was you. Don't nobody run out of the church and not say hello to me because it was you. I had no idea who it was. But look at me. I want you to break those patterns. I want you to break those patterns in your life. What's the solution? The only way to change a pattern is to break its power. And let me show you Romans chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. This ought to make you shout. We know that our sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. When you got born again, you were saying, Lord, I want to no longer me live, but it's you live inside of me. And so he says, we are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. You ought to rejoice in that. Look at me. It happened whether you're living in it or not. You got to believe that God broke the power of sin over your life, that you don't have to return back. Do you know what Israel kept saying? We want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back. That when Christ, you gave your life to Jesus, said that no longer has power and authority over you in Jesus' name. You need to know that and receive that. Amen. In 1863, Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation, declaring freedom to those who were enslaved in this nation. Some slaves chose, instead of being free, to stay with their masters. Why? Why? Israel wanted to do it too. Let's go back to Egypt. Every enslaved people at some point said, no, no, we'd rather stay here. Why? Why? Because that's the strength of that pattern of way of thinking. And we were all slaves to sin at some point or another. So what do we do? The only way to change a pattern is to break its power. Jesus didn't come to give you a pep talk or a New Year's resolution. He died and broke the power of sin over you. He canceled the curse. You have a brand new master. It's not alcohol. It's not food. It's not anxiety. It's not fear anymore. It's not worry anymore. You got a new master. His name is Jesus, and he is the Prince of Peace. Are you hearing me? And so when you hear that trying to reattach itself back to you, recognize it for what it is. It's the old pattern trying to get you back in the same way, old pattern way of thinking. So number one, only way to change a pattern is to break its pattern. And then number two, you got to break the old pattern by establishing a brand new pattern. You got to do something new. Yeah, so let me help you. Let me give you some practical steps on building some brand new patterns in your life for 2019. In fact, I would say to you, if you would apply the word today, I can almost guarantee you, I will guarantee you, you won't be the same person in 12 months than you are right now. Guaranteed. Let me give you number one. Number one, walk in the light. Walk in the light. Let me read 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 7 says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, Jesus, and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we'll, read that with me, walk, oh, come on, 11:30. Help me out, Vic, because I'll preach faster and we can go home and watch the game, all right? But if we what? Walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. What does that mean? Just walk in the light. Well, it does mean don't be shady, be honest, don't hide things. In fact, I would say this to you. If you could confess it, God will address it. If you'll reveal it, God will heal it. It's just being honest where you're at, what's going on. If you can define it, you can defeat it. And I want to say how proud I am of many of you, because I know this is the first church that many of you have set a new pattern in your life that you're going, hey, I go to church every Sunday. I go to church every Sunday. I'm a part of this church. I just want to say, well done. You've set a brand new pattern in your life. It's going to pay off. There's a promise at the end that we're going to have fellowship not only with him, but also with one another. You got to give God all the praise for that. Thank you. What am I saying? Don't miss church. I know it sounds too simple. Show up. Keep showing up. I know there's some Sundays, Pastor, you ain't all that on. You go, it's all right today. I know. Sometimes I feel that way too. I'll walk out and go, it was okay. It was okay. How many of you know Hamburger Helper still helps you? And every once in a while you get a ribeye. No, you keep showing up. You go, listen to me. I so appreciate my parents. They go, hey, if you live in this house, we go to church. There wasn't no Saturday night you talked about. Are we going tomorrow? No. They go, no. My parents made a decision a long time ago. Well, I was still far from God. They said, as far as me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You live in this house, you go to church. Don't you ever ask me, kids, don't you ever ask me on Saturday night whether we're going to church or not. The answer is, we're going to church. If that ever changes, we'll let you know. So every Sunday, okay, we got to go to church. We got to go. I don't know where got to go and to get to go until I love going to be with God's people. I'm not sure where that kicked in, but somewhere along the line, it kicked in. Listen to me. Walk in the light. Church should not be a should we not, what are we doing this weekend? It ought to be. I know you got to take your vacations. I know there's work. If you're sick and contagious, don't show up here. Watch online. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about settling the fact that you're God's people and you come together to worship this God together. There is a power in it, and you just keep showing up at it. Are y'all tracking with me this morning? Are you receiving this? So number one, walk in the light. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. We're all a work in progress. We're all getting the slave mind out of us. All of us. Number two, you got to walk in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear, this sounds like a parent, doesn't it? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. How many of you have children? How many of your children have ever lied to you? How many of your children have never lied to you? You just don't know it, but they have lied to you. You just didn't know it. We love it when our children are being honest and truthful. Walking in the truth. Walking in the truth. Carrying out what you said for them to do. They're walking it out. Look at me. This is so simple. I know it's ridiculously simple. I'm just talking about new patterns. I go to church on Sunday. Let me give you another pattern. There's 260 weekdays in a year. And we came up with this simple idea. There's 261 chapters in the New Testament. Why don't we get our people to agree to step together and read one chapter for every weekday through the New Testament. And so we built this for you. You can pick it up today when you leave and just go, I'm going to do that. And just, we're going to just read the Bible. We're going to open up God's Word every day. It takes 7 minutes. Holy Spirit, I'm going to read your Word today. Would you speak to me today? Wow. Highlight one verse. Meditate on it during the day. And then the next day. We only ask you to do 5 days a week. You could take the weekends off and watch the Saints game. The power is in the pattern. The power is in the pattern. The power is in the pattern. That each and every day you open up that book 7 minutes a day. And that you go, Lord, I'm going to read your word. I'm going to commune with you. I just want to open up your word and let you speak to me today. I'm going to open it up. Wow, 7 minutes. I mean, Pastor, you, is it a chapter a day keeps the devil away? The power's not in how much you read. The power's not in how many chapters you read or how long it took. The power is in the pattern. That you're creating a pattern. I'm going to open up God's word each and every day. I'm going to let him speak to me. And so where I'm challenging you, I want you to say, I'm going to set that as a pattern for my life. And let me give you number three. You got to walk with the wise. Walk with the wise. So you're walking in the light, we're walking in truth, and we're walking with the wise. Proverbs 13 and 20 says, when you walk with the wise, you become wise. You ever met a fool? I can almost guarantee you the reason why they were a fool is because they walked with fools. You don't even have to be that wise. You just got to walk with wise people. Look at me right here. I'm going to keep saying it until we're all doing it. You got to be in a small group. You got to connect with people that are walking to the same destination that you're walking. Walking through some of the same things so you can encourage one another, strengthen one another. There are going to be times and seasons where you need that encouragement, and there's going to be times and seasons where others need you. Look at me. Slave talk is I don't need anybody because you've lived your life being selfish and just trying to get it all for you. Family talk is I got to be involved because they may need me. And whatever I have, I can share with others. But there will be a season where you're going to need them too. We walk together. The scripture says, when you walk with the wise, you become wise. Christianity is a team sport. You were never created to walk by yourself. You're going to need people in your life. I know the simplicity of this. Walk in truth. Walk in the light. And walk with the wise. You'd be setting yourself a pattern that if you did those three simple things, I promise you 12 months from now, you won't even be the same person that you are right now. The power is in the pattern. Do you receive this word today? I'm just praying that you won't hear me because the scripture says what a hearer of the word is. It's like looking in a mirror, then you walk away and forget what you look like. You're going to leave right out of here and go, oh, the Saints playing, and forget everything I said. You got to decide right now whether you're going to take some action. They're going, I'm going to lead a small group. I'm going to be in a small group. I'm registering this week. I'm getting one of these. Pastor, you, I'm on it. I'm going to start setting a pattern in my life because the power is in the pattern. Listen, the best way to get this thing washed is by renewing your mind every day in the Word until your thinking becomes aligned with what this book says. And some of us need our brain washed. I do. I need my brain washed every day by His Word. So I want us to pray right now. Father, we hear your Word today. You're challenging us. You're laying it out. We want a new life. We want the promises of God. We've talked a lot about the promises today. We sang about the promises today. But the power is in the pattern. And so, Father, we hear you today. You're asking us, let's commit to the fellowship of one another, the church. Let's commit to walking daily in the Word, the pattern of opening up your Word and allowing you, by your Holy Spirit, to speak to our hearts. And Father, the power and the pattern of connecting relationally with one another to tear down walls, pride, prejudice, and poverty. So Father, we receive your Word today. I pray that each one of us will take the next step. We feel you speaking to us today. We hear you, and we'll step out into that in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. And if you're here today, maybe today, the blood isn't over the doorpost of your life. You got to receive the Lamb of God. Jesus said it this way. You can't enter the kingdom or see the kingdom until you've been born again. You have to be born again. Pastor Yu, what do you mean born again? I was born July 30th, 1965. I was born again in the summer of 1983 when I surrendered my life to Jesus. Born again. How do you do that, Pastor Yu? It's as easy as A, B, C. A, admit you're a sinner. Christians, pray for your row right now. Pray for your row right now. And I admitted that I was a sinner. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. B, believe that Jesus came to die on a cross, to shed his blood, to go over the doorpost of your life, to take your sin, your guilt, and your shame. He died for it, to pay the penalty for it. And C, confess him as Lord and Savior. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, you, I want to be born again. I need to be born again. You're born once, you get born again once. And you want to be born again today. I want to pray for you right now, all over this building. All I ask, hold your hand up high. No one's looking at me. Say, I want to be born again. I want to be born again. Thank you. I see your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8. Hold it up high. I'm looking in the balcony. 9 and 10 and 11 and 12. I want to be born again. I want to start over. 13. Thank you, thank you, thank you. 13 hands. Congregation, let's pray with each one of these today. Would you say this? Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go. And that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God all the praise for that today?
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.